If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
Before we get to today's show, have you seen the amazing containers that cannabis and hemp products come in these days? I'm talking about those amazing joint tubes you carry around in your pocket or the cool containers edible products come in now. There's a revolution in packaging happening around the cannabis industry. In fact, it's already happened. Our new sponsor, KushCo, is largely responsible for incredible innovations that are so useful, well, we take them for granted. But these packages have to comply with strict guidelines, be childproof, and all other sorts of regulations. Kush is on top of that. I guess they are really good at what they do because they've sold over 1 billion units of stuff to more than 5,000 legally operated medical and adult use dispensaries, growers, and producers across North America, South America, and Europe. Check out their site at kushco.com/podcast for more information. The show starts now.
Cabin where the boys are stored, sipping on a bar stool.
You've been listening to Late in the Evening by California-based Alpine Camp off their latest release, Hybrid, available now on Spotify and Apple Music. It would be nearly impossible for me or the rest of the team to be aware of every band out there that somehow, in some way, fits into the community of music we bring you. So it's nice when a band reaches out to tell us about their project and what they're up to. We can't feature all of them on the show, but there was something about Alpine Camp that really intrigued us. Probably the blend of musicianship, songwriting, and fun that caught our attention. So when we sat down with Chris and Charles of Alpine Camp, I asked Chris to start off by explaining their sound.
Well, I think that we are very, we're not for everyone, that's for sure, but I think essentially we're a pop songwriting band that jams live, and our instrumentation is of the country roots bluegrass variety. So like the other thing that's kind of weird about us is, you know, we're a bluegrass band with a drummer, so we're not a bluegrass band. You don't typically see pedal steel with banjo unless, you know, you're in Neil Young's band. That was a really interesting combination for me. And I think it was born out of me not knowing that those genres don't typically meld a whole lot. And my love of jam, and Charles is essentially a musical savant. So his willingness to support that vision. And then once we started getting to know the players in the LA area, you know, I think that it was a breath of fresh air to them as well. So they were like, wow, we can just jam. We can do whatever we want. And Charles and I are always like, get as weird as you possibly want to be. And I think that's something, especially for working studio and touring musicians, that they don't get to do a lot of. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but that's what we are.
Charles, did you want to add anything to that explanation?
No, I think he nailed it. I agree with what he says. So I've known Chris forever. We met when we were 14. And it's been, you know, we've played in so many different incarnations, and I don't see us ever not making music together. And so, you know, years ago that we had stopped playing because we had there was a death in one of the groups that we were in, and it kind of like, you know, turned it off. So we stopped for a while, and I remember we were both, you know, kind of, you know, recording songs and write stuff. And then he had some ideas that he had brought to me. He was like, hey man, like, do you want to help me like put this together? And maybe we can find some, at the time I told him I wasn't going to play. And he was like, well, you know, maybe you can help me kind of find guys. I trust your ear or whatever. And you can help me pick and choose some of these guys, and we can see if put something together. And ultimately it was just so easy to start playing because, you know, we're really good friends, that it kind of naturally just was like, hey, why don't I just play on these songs? And I was playing drums before, and I kind of like got this really bad taste in my mouth, from having that sort of, you know, experience, and was like, all right, I'm not playing drums, you know, for this project. I'm just going to play keyboard. It doesn't feel as weird to me. And so, from there it was just like, well, you know, as far as I understand it, like, to make, you know, a project like this work, you can either, you know, there's kind of two ways. You can either dump tons of money into it, which we absolutely don't have, or you just kind of take your time and you just stick around and you create, you know, an environment that, you know, that allows for you to enjoy yourself and stick to it, and just, you know, don't create, you know, like these artificial pressures where it's like, hey, you know, we really don't get along, and you need to be doing it this way, and I don't like this about you and all that stuff. And what we, you know, we're trying to do the opposite of that to make sure that this is something that can last, because, you know, as I understand it, that's really the only way to kind of have this see any kind of success. But again, besides just dumping tons of money into it.
Right, right. And you've been doing it for a while now. I mean, you know, I think you guys put this outfit together, the Alpine Camp, back in 2014. And so you've been at it for quite some time, and I would imagine that, you know, with a few record releases and with a few EPs and with touring in the California area and with the events that you've played and the stages that you've shared, you've developed a bit of a following for what you're doing. How is that going 5 years into it?
Well, I think that the difficult part about touring in California, first of all, is that the state is so huge, and so your touring dates don't look that impressive. I'm like, well, we've got 20 dates on the calendar, you know, it's like, but they're all in California, so it looks pretty regional, and you know, to a point it is, but as far as building a following in the Los Angeles area, what we've just smartened up to really within the last like year or so is that, LA is fickle. We love the people. It's not like we don't have good shows here. I mean, we've had some of our greatest opening slots in California, in LA, but we've found that, you know, we're like a mountain tinged jam pop band. And we, you know, when we really look at ourselves in the mirror and like, hey, maybe we should go to some mountain towns. Maybe we should go to some surf towns outside of the LA area immediately. We've had greater success there, honestly.
So is it a question of daytime jobs or life outside of the Alpine Camp that's not allowing you to pursue those venues? Or are you just not interested at this point in doing some of that stuff?
We're totally interested, and if you go to our calendar now, it's bulking up for sure. And the funny thing is, it's like the only people that have really been holding the band back have been Charles and myself, because we have day jobs. Everybody else in the band is a musician for a living. So this 2019 year, you know, we're doing a lot of brewery dates, because that kind of fits our niche. And we'll have some festival dates on there. And again, playing some just really cool towns. We've got a 2-night run up in Yosemite later in the summer. And like Charles was saying, longer distances, you know, we are still technically a baby band. So we're getting some mileage under us at the beginning of the year, and hopefully that continues. But we're doing it in a way that's like really comfortable. It's like, I would want to go to vacation to all of these places that we're visiting. So that's kind of a cool benefit and something that we've learned over the years.
Well, you have opened for a few bands that, you know, are not necessarily from the LA area, but aren't from too far away, whether it's Midnight North, who are from Northern California, or the Motet, who are a few states over in Colorado. So it's not a question of fans not knowing who you are. I guess it really is just a matter of devoting a little more time to the project. Hopefully the EP will catch fire too, right? And allow you to spread your wings a little bit more.
For sure. And, you know, something that we just recently got a devoted booker, but even before that, one of the pieces of leverage I always said to the venues that we were reaching out to is like, hey, every place we've ever played, we've been asked back, and we've always had a good experience. Now we've had a lot of experiences playing to, you know, 3 to 10 people or a bartender and a couple of waiters, but those are the dues you got to pay. And we've just been diligent now, kind of returning to a lot of those spots in 2019 and just having a further reach.
So we talked a bit about the music, and we talked a bit about where you guys are at. The EP, by the way, is Hybrid, and it is brilliant. Let's talk a bit. Let's dig a little bit deeper into the music that you guys are writing. And I'm curious about, you know, your songwriting partners that go way back. What made you decide to specifically write for this kind of a setting and write pop songs as opposed to what's a little more traditional in the space, you know, long drawn out tunes? What made you decide to write these shorter, poppier songs?
So
I think I can speak to that. And, you know, obviously Chris, just like cut me off if you're not 100% on with this, but the way I like to think about it is we create songs that we like. We don't go in there saying that this song needs to, you know, fit this mold or be this, you know, be this length or anything like that. We kind of go in there and create songs that we think are going to be easily digested for the album, but definitely have like huge jam potential. Like that's the thing that we're thinking about when we're putting these things together. It's like, all right, first, well, from a very practical point of view, we like to keep our songs really simple, like really, really simple for, you know, and I could list all the reasons, but one of them is the main one is just convenience. Like we want to be able to take a song from, you know, hey, here I've thrown down, you know, four tracks real quick. You know, Chris will do a scratch vocal on that. We'll send it out to the guys and like we can, you know, the next rehearsal, it's like we play it twice and it's like we're good. We'll go play that live.
And additionally, like I think something that's took Charles and I a long time to do, because we have been in other bands with, you know, more proggy, you know, feelings and tendencies, is that being okay with like, hey, this song is two chords, or hey, the dynamics of this chorus are going to be volume based rather than chord based. And just being okay with that. And when I hear something that I like, I'm just going to turn that into a song. I'm not going to like overthink it and try to add window dressing just to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think part of it too is just having you know, done it a couple times now in this project, we are really starting to hone in on, you know, this. Okay. So for the first one, it was like, hey, you know, Chris was like, I've got this song and I've got this song kind of put together, and he brought it to me and he was like, this is, you know, what I have in mind. It's like, okay, cool. Charles, why don't you, you know, come up with some as well? And, you know, the pressure's on for me to be like, all right, I got to come up with some lyrics that aren't annoying for him to sing. And for the most part, we don't do that anymore, because I've really found like my role is to take care of the sound of it. And I'm not singing on these songs. So I really just defer to him to be like, now it's like, you know, we have these roles that are much more defined, where it's like, hey man, you know, he'll come with me to an, he'll come to me with an idea, or I'll say, hey, here's a bed, you know. I do a lot of composing for other stuff, and every once in a while he'll be like, wait, what is, no, don't give that to anybody.
Right. I'm like, that's hard. That's an Alpine campaign.
But I found that like, I don't need this, like I no longer have this need to be like, well, I wrote the lyrics to that song and you know, it's fair. Like there's six songs on the, or 10 songs on the thing. Five of them are Charles's songs. Five of them are, it's like, that's all gone. Like, I don't care, you know, we don't care about that anymore. And it's more about how can we make the best song we possibly can with the tools that we have in front of us.
Right. And by the time it comes out of like, you know, the butt of the Alpine camp, it's everybody's song. So it's like, who cares? You know, I just want it to sound good. And I just want to be our favorite band. Like, I want to be making music that I really enjoy. And, you know, that's kind of the goal.
Our conversation will continue in just a bit. Off the top of the show, though, I told you about Cushco Holdings. They are, by the way, a publicly traded company under the ticker KSHB and the parent to innovative cannabis industry leaders such as Kush Supply Company, Kush Energy, The Hybrid Creative, and Coletto Packaging Solutions. They are doing amazing things aside from sponsoring our show. You should check out their website at kushco.com/podcast for more information. Now, back to the show. So how did you guys find a pedal steel player in Southern California? Because I would imagine Joel is probably one of very few pedal steel players in the SoCal area.
Well, he's one of a very few select really good pedal steel players. He is he is a freaking monster, and he has played with a lot of different people, and we're just so glad that he chooses to spend time with us. Because, you know, aside from Charles and Adam, he's really the, you know, the melodic lead in our band. And when we were making the first EP, we knew that we wanted pedal steel, and we went through a few other guys. And interestingly enough, like, we've had a lot of players that have, like, gone on to be like successful with other large artists. But Joel included, but he still wants to play with us and still jam with us. But I don't know, Charles, do you remember how we specifically got hooked up with Joel?
I think it was Kevin that couldn't make a date, and he was like, oh, I've got this guy. So, like, I think all the pedal steel players, I'm assuming there's 8 of them in LA.
Yeah, right,
they
exactly.
They all have each other on speed dial. And so they're like, oh, hey, man, I can't make this date. I know this cat, Kevin, he can come. And, it was either Jameson or Kevin that was just like, hey, we know this guy. Like, he'll do the date. And then it stuck. We loved it.
And then the other thing is, like, you know, for better or for worse, there is a huge dead tribute contingent out here. There's a lot of, you know, Grateful Shred and Cubensis and, mm-hmm. you know, all the national touring acts as well. And we played a few shows with, I think, Cubensis, and I think that was the first time that, like, a lot of those guys, and Joel included, was like, dude, this jam scene is fucking rad. Like, I can do whatever I want. I can, like, you know, I wouldn't say that he's, like, going overboard or anything, but, you know, these guys are so tucked away in the background in their typical stages that I think we were a huge breath of fresh air for him.
Right. So you have a jam band affiliation, right? I mean, you guys are, you mentioned all of these, and Grateful Shred have been on the show, and Mapache, or however you want to pronounce their name, have been on the show too. But that kind of community in LA does exist. It just happens to be something that people aren't probably as aware of if they don't live in Southern California. Everybody thinks of Northern California for whatever reason for the scene.
Totally. You know, they've got a shit ton of bands in the Bay Area that we, you know, like you mentioned, Midnight North and amongst others, that we're really into, Hot Buttered Rum and all those folks. The grass side of the jam world down here is not as healthy, I think, as maybe like the electro and jamtronica and really funk based jam, but it's getting there. And we, you know, the other thing is it's tough for us because we're like really not just straight grass either. So I think ultimately it will be a good thing, but it's sometimes, you know, people want labels, people want to pigeonhole you, and sometimes that hurts us.
They do, but the thing about even straight grass right now is that nobody's really playing. You know, none of the quote unquote bluegrass bands in the jam band scene are straight grass bands, right? I mean, we just had Green Sky Bluegrass on the show, and even though the name is Green Sky Bluegrass, they are pretty far from being a typical bluegrass band aside from the instrumentation.
For sure. Like, I love Green Sky, and, you know, like, I was listening to the Kitchen Dwellers and some of the bands that are kind of below them. Yeah, they have that, the regular instrumentation, but, you know, the closest thing you could call them is, like, Newgrass. I mean,
yeah.
But Green Sky is even, you know, 10 tiers away from that.
Yeah.
So, and you know, what we're doing, I would say, is closer to like a Railroad Earth or a or even a String Cheese slant because of the instrumentation and the drums and, you know, the way things can get in the jams.
Right. So how long are your shows? I mean, when you talk about jamming, are you doing two sets? Are you doing one long set? What's a typical night for a fan if they come to an Alpine Camp show?
In 2019, because we in the past we've done a lot of support slots. This mm-hmm. will be the first time that we're really going out on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So these will be two set affairs, an evening with kind of thing. So expect 3 hours and expect, you know, varying set lists, obviously, tons of covers, and we've got a lot of surprises. So it should be fun, man.
You want to hint at any of the covers that you guys are working on?
No.
No.
No. What about
no? I'll tell you this. I was pissed that I heard J-Rad covered Love Pool, but we already learned it, so it's happened. Yeah. But we've got some cool studio versions of covers coming out as well. So, you know, stuff in the past that certainly is not, you know, we'll do Porno for Pyros and MGMT and stuff like that. So, and I remember one of the first covers that we ever did was Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, which was a complete mistake. But you're like, I thought you guys wanted to be simple.
yeah. You picked the hardest, probably one of his hardest songs.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that it's, you know, Porno for Pyros and MGMT, because those are local-ish bands, right? I mean, so you're still you're still staying in that SoCal hot pocket. SoCal hot pot. That sounds delicious.
Well, it's
actually
not like we're not going to, you know, drop an Almond or a Dead cover. Like, that'll happen. But at the same time, I think some of the most perfect covers are, like, just obscure enough. You're like, oh, I haven't heard this in, like, 20 years, you know?
Right.
And I think also, like, what I particularly like is to take a cover that, like, is almost like the opposite instrumentation of what we have, and just make it into something that we really like. And I speaking for myself, but correct me if I'm wrong, at the beginning, Chris was maybe a little bit shy of it. No, we can't do that. That's not going to sound like us. And it's like, oh, it will, man. We're us. It can only sound like us.
Right, because I'm kind of like the jam band guy in the band, and I – you know, initially I was like, you know, we've got to do this. We've got to do Tennessee Jed. We've got to do, you know, and Charles is like, well, why don't we try this? And I've learned to let the reins go a little bit and go a little less traditional jam band cover. And it's been,
yeah, like Biz Markie was brilliant.
Right. So.
Yeah. Once again, Chris, I'm going to have to gang up on you and agree with Charles on some of
that.
Like, you don't want to force this stuff. You kind of do want to think about what comes naturally for you. And your sound is quite unique because of the pedal steel and the banjo, that ultimately anything you guys play is going to sound like the Alpine Camp.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, I'm wearing them down. I think you'll know that I've gone like full tilt when we start doing like covers of like Bill Evans, Chucho Valdez, Jura Carey, and like, real standards where he's like not even on stage.
Well, you can already hear the samba in the jam, but I sometimes have to tell him to like lay off. I'm like, dude, can we like stay out of the cocktail lounge for like minute three? But don't worry, you'll still get some Floyd at the shows.
Guys, thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it. Really think it's really cool that you reached out to us. You know, we're only as good as the community that listens to the show and tells us about cool music. You just happen to be musicians in a pretty cool band. I think 2019 is going to be, you know, a big stepping stone for you guys. And I'm looking forward to watching you. And hopefully fans of the show and fans of the band will also see you guys grow. And good luck with everything. I mean, Hybrid is amazing. And so I can't imagine you're not going to have a successful 2019. And you're getting the Sound Podcast bump. So that in and of itself should be huge.
Ira, we can't, you know, like I said, I reached out to you because I'm a fan of your work, and it's such an honor to, you know, be on this podcast, and we're going to continue to listen, and thanks for giving us a chance to talk to you, man.
Fun conversation, right? Seriously, though, we found Chris and Charles to be really great, as I'm sure you did. You definitely should check out their entire EP and see them live if you're on the West Coast or if they make it to a town near you. For more on this duo and the rest of their band, visit thealpinecamp.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to Stolen, another track off of Hybrid.
I walk a line and don't move away from no one. Unafraid to get some blood on my shoes. I double down and seize the day and move along. Some call it brave, some all they know. But past the light on, she walks straight into view.
Been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.